but not very well.
I was quite a skilled player when I was a girl.
She noticed her husband peeking in for the second time this morning and began to suspect he was interested in more than just the progress of the day's work.
Sobradil, I don't think it's wise for you to bring your daughter here.
And a moment later she growled,
I'll be back in a minute. I have to talk to that man. I have to straighten him out.
The moment she stepped out, Mean Subradil moved with startling rapidity. She vanished into Radish's anger chamber. I had to admire her. Her mind never seemed clearer than when she was in a dangerous position. I suspected she actually enjoyed her role as a palace menial, and the more dangerous the times, the more effective she seemed. Despite a massive workload and Narita's frequent trips away to sabotage her husband's efforts to weasel in close to Shikandini, or to draft Shiki into a different working group in mid-afternoon, we left the Radish's personal suite for the gloomy chambers where the Privy Council assembled. There was a rumor that the Bodhi disciples were about to send another suicidal goof to the gateway. The Radisha wanted to forestall that somehow. We were supposed to get the place ready for a council session. The Bodhi rumor had had its birth in the mind of Kai Sara. It was supposed to be the device by which we could bring Shikandini face to face with Chandra Gokhale. We had almost 2 hours before the staffers appeared. The quiet little men who wrote everything down. Then the Purohita arrived, accompanied by the ecclesiastical members of the Privy Council. The Purohita did not deign to note our existence, even though Shiki mistook him for Gokhale and batted her eyes, till Subradil signed her off. I could hear the excuse that would come later. All old men looked alike. Neither Arjuna Drupada nor Chandra Gokhale considered themselves old. We continued our work, ignored. The folk of the palace, particularly the inner circle, were lucky we had other things we wanted to do with our lives. Had we not cared about our own survival, we could have slaughtered scores of them. But getting rid of the Purohita would not mean much in the grand scheme. The senior priests would replace him with another old man just as nasty and narrow of mind before Drupada's bones got cold. Chandra Gokhale came in, and he did not overlook the help. Sara must have gleaned a few suggestions from Willow Swan about what the old pervert liked, because he stopped dead, staring at Shikandini, like somebody had clubbed him between the eyes. Shiki had the role down perfectly. She was a shy virgin and a flirt at the same time, as though her maidenly heart had been smitten instantly. God apparently fashioned men so that they would swallow that sort of bait 9 times out of 10. Barundandi's timing was good. He came to move us out of the meeting chamber, just as the protector swooped in like some dark, angry eagle. Gokhale watched our departure with moon eyes before we completed our evacuation. He was whispering to one of his scribes. Jal Barundandi unfortunately had a sharp eye for some things.
Mean Subradil, I believe your daughter has charmed the Inspector General of the Records.
Subradil appeared surprised.
Sir? No, that can't be. I won't let my child stumble into the trap that destroyed my mother and condemned me to this cruel life.